Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in John 1. John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This is God's word. Who is the greatest preacher who ever lived? Not just talking about someone you heard who was really, really good that you thought, oh, I'd like to listen to sermons from that guy again. Who's the best one who ever lived? And, you know, we have a pretty small experience as Lutherans of other Lutheran preachers. We probably, most of us have only ever heard a few in our lives. So if we were to maybe expand that, a lot of people might say, oh, someone like Billy Graham, right? Now, we'd definitely have some issues with the theology there, but he was certainly an effective communicator and did it in front of stadiums filled of people. Back in the 1800s, there was a British theologian and preacher named Charles Spurgeon. He's regarded as one of the great preachers of all time, and people still read a lot of his sermons. In the 1700s, there was Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the first revivalist preachers. I don't know if you know what the revivals were. These preachers would go from town to town and they'd put up tents and people would come from all over to listen to these guys preach. And Jonathan Edwards preached one of the most famous sermons of all time called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." You can imagine that was a real feel-good message, huh? Well, for us as Lutherans, Martin Luther was a gifted preacher, and especially so because of his rediscovery of the gospel and the centrality of the gospel message. But I'm going to say, without doubt, the greatest preacher that ever walked this earth was John the Baptist. Jesus may have agreed. You might think, well, he was a preacher? Oh, we know he baptized people. I mean, that's his name, right? He's not John the Preacher. He's John the Baptist. But even Jesus exalts John as the greatest there was. He said last week in our gospel from Matthew 11, he said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." And I'm going to submit to you that the greatest sermon ever preached is the one that John the Baptist preached in John 1 verse 29. Now you didn't hear it in our reading today because the reading cuts off at verse 28. That's a bummer because the next verse, greatest sermon ever preached. "The next day he," John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" That's the greatest sermon that's ever been delivered because it does exactly what it's supposed to do. It points people to Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist appeared on the scene in Judea, people didn't know what to think about him. He was definitely someone out of the ordinary. Because you have to remember, there hadn't been any prophets in Israel for over 400 years. You know, back in the Old Testament, there were always prophets speaking on behalf of the Lord, delivering a message to the people. There hadn't been anyone in centuries. Then all of a sudden, John the Baptist appears and he dresses himself in camel hair. He eats locusts and wild honey. He's just like a prophet. He dresses funny and he eats funny things. That's the kind of thing a prophet does because they're a weird sort of guy. And the people knew, the Pharisees and the Jews, they knew this guy is out of the ordinary. They didn't quite know what to make of him. So they ask him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Who are you?" And John, like a good preacher, turns the attention away from himself. He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, as Isaiah wrote. I'm here to get you ready for Jesus. Why are you baptizing, they ask him, if you're not some great prophet to whom we're supposed to pay attention? He, again, he points them to Jesus. I baptize with water, but among you stands one, the strap of whose sandal I am unworthy to untie. In other words, there's someone bigger, more important for you to see. And John does what a good preacher, a good prophet does. He points people to Jesus. He points them to the Christ so they can know where the salvation from their sins is found. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, there is no more important thing in all of heaven or on earth than that you know where your Savior is found. And John the Baptist points us to him for us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In that human being, God had come to his people. In that Jesus Christ, God had sent his people a lamb of sacrifice. Just as there had been all these sacrifices of the Old Testament, God would still save his people by a sacrifice, by the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not just the sins of Israel, not just the sins of the good people, not just the sins of the ones who deserve it, the sins of the world, of all people, of all time. This Lamb, Jesus Christ, takes away your sin. And John the Baptist tells you to behold him, to look at him, to know where to find him. So where is he today? Where is this Lamb of God? He's not lying in a manger. He did that already. He's not somehow spiritually in the hearts of the people. He's in a real place where you can find him. He's in the bread and wine. He's in Holy Communion. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This understanding that we have about the Lord's Supper, it is crucial and essential. Those of you who have been through any type of confirmation class, have become members here in the Lutheran Church, you know we believe this bread and this wine, they are the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that means everything for you and me. Because here, right here, I don't like to leave the pulpit. I'm going to do it for a minute this morning. Right here, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And when you come, right here, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Doesn't make sense to a lot of people. How can this Lamb of God be in bread and wine? But I want you to think about how the scriptures unfold. Let me just kind of run real kind of quick fire through a bunch of Bible stories. And I want you to think about how God has always been with his people. Not just in their hearts like they remember him, but I mean actually made himself present with his people. Started in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve, and what did he do? We read that he walked in the garden with him, and sin separated them from him. They hid themselves from him. The presence that he had with them was now broken because of our sin. But God promised he would save them, and he continued to make himself present among the people. He came to Moses in a burning bush and spoke to him, revealed him his name as I am that I am. Tell the people that I am has sent you to them. And then the same Lord led the people of Israel out of Egypt and led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the book of Exodus tells us the Lord was in the cloud. He was there. He was with his people. He led them through the wilderness, led them to Mount Sinai. He was there on the mountain when he gave them his covenant. And when he commanded them to build the tabernacle, the place where they would worship, the book of Exodus chapter 40 tells us that the glory of the Lord rested within the tabernacle. Because then Israel knew that when they came to worship, when they came with their sacrifices, God was with them. He was there with his people. Fast forward through the Old Testament, the ark gets stolen, the temple gets destroyed. But then God sends a new tabernacle. He sends Jesus himself. What do we learn in Matthew? His name is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? We sang it in our song, O come, Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Gospel of John, Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, literally tabernacled with us. The new tabernacle is Jesus. He's the Word. Where the Word is, he is. What did he tell his people? Well, he gave them a meal, and he said, in the meal, this is my body, and this is my blood. Matthew 26, Mark 14. What did he tell the disciples on the road to Emmaus after he rose from the dead? He stopped with them. We read, they broke bread together. They celebrated Holy Communion. And we read that the disciples said he was with them in the breaking of the bread. And before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28, he said to his church, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, your Lord Jesus is with you. John the Baptist reminds us to behold him. And you behold him, body and blood, given in bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. The same death that Jesus endured on the cross now pours out its fruits to you here and now. Not just as some memory, as though we hold him in our hearts and remember what he did 2,000 years ago. That's not how God works. He's the God who walks in the garden. He's the God who dwells in a tabernacle. He's the God who comes in human flesh. And he's the same God who comes to you in bread and wine. There's a second great sermon that we find in the Bible, and it comes from Jesus himself. That first sermon I told you about, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The second one, when Jesus says to his disciples, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Take, drink, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Why is it such a stretch to think that Jesus is in the bread and wine with his body and blood when that is exactly how God has been dwelling with his people all along? Coming to them in a very real way. John the Baptist turns the attention from himself and tells the people to look to Christ. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, look to your Lamb today. Look to the one who comes to you in bread and wine. Look to the one who sheds his blood for you and takes away, yes, the sins of the world, but more specifically, your sin. Gone, undone, paid in full. Thanks be to God for the message of John, the reminder that we should always look to Christ, the one who always points us to the one who, as Advent reminds us, comes to us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God with you, here and now and for all eternity. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.